A new report from the nonpartisan nonprofit Wisconsin Policy Forum highlights budgetary challenges faced by many townships in the state. Cities and villages have similar shortfalls in state-shared revenue, but towns have fewer properties to draw tax revenue from to fund services that often cover a bigger geographical area. That's forced some town governments to get creative with their financing, but it might not be sustainable. Jason Stein is the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, I think a lot of times we might use town and village and city interchangeably. Town means something in the law. Remind us, Jason, what a town is before we get into the budget discussion.
Sure. So when we talk about towns as an actual government, not just like a geographical feature, Wisconsin has towns, cities, and villages. You have to live in one or the other. You can't live in both at the same time. And towns are not incorporated in Wisconsin, which means they don't deliver as many services as cities and villages do. If you look nationally, there's only 20 states with town governments and only 9 states that are like Wisconsin, where you have to live in a town, city, or village. Some other states like Illinois, you can actually live in a town and a city at the same time because they organize things differently.
And a lot of towns in and of themselves might be pretty small, but collectively over 1 million of us in Wisconsin live in towns, right?
Right. So there's and that's because there's like 1,248 towns in Wisconsin. So there's a very large number. Even though there's only a small number of people that live in each one, together it's 1.6 million people. So it's like almost 28% of the state's population.
You checked out the budget situation facing towns around the state. What were some of the main things you found?
I mean, the one thing that really jumps out at you, if you look over the last generation, is how state aid has declined as a share of their budgets. And this is not unlike what we've seen happen for much larger cities and villages. In 1990, property taxes made up about 37% of revenues for towns in the state, and state aid was about 45%. By the time we get to 2020, property taxes made up 48% of town revenues, or almost half, and state aid had dropped to 30%, or less than one-third.
So they're getting more reliant on property taxes. There are downsides to that, I imagine?
Right. I mean, I think in particular for towns. I mean, one is that, you know, many state residents, you know, worry about the cost of their property taxes. It's a very salient tax that really jumps out at them when you pay it one time a year, unlike, say, sales taxes. And then, you know, there are pretty tight state limits on local property taxes. Essentially, to raise property taxes for your operating budget, most local governments, you know, there are some exceptions, but generally you need to have new development for that to happen under state law. And towns simply don't get as much new development as other cities and villages in the state. And even in the case of the larger communities, you know, if you look statewide, it's still less than the rate of inflation typically.
You mentioned that towns tend to provide fewer services than cities and villages. What are they on the hook for in their town budgets?
I mean, the traditional big thing that towns provide is road maintenance and construction. And, you know, if you look back to 1990, that's almost half of their budgets go to that one thing. It was 48%. By 2020, though, that share had dropped some. And I think that may reflect to some degree the financial challenges of towns because and we can talk about it, they've had increasing debt payments. Other things that they do trash pickup. They do fire and EMS services, which is another area where they've had challenges. So those are the kind, you know, law enforcement, things like that, more rare to see towns provide that. You see that more from counties or other municipalities.
To what extent are towns around the state getting stretched thin here?
Well, so, I mean, I think a good example would be the fire and EMS services. So traditionally, what towns have done is they've relied on a volunteer or a paid on-call staffing model. So, you know, where they're not paying their fire and EMS workers at all, or they're only paying them for the actual hours that they work responding to calls. You know, that's a low-cost method. In a lot of communities, it has worked for them over the years. But as their residents get older and they're starting to have more medical calls, and they're also having trouble getting the volunteer staffing at the levels they need to respond to all those calls. And so then that puts pressure on them to either, you know, lean on their neighbors who may not be, you know, neighboring communities that may also have challenges, or, you know, it makes them think about, you know, increasing their pay or even shifting to full-time staff, and that, which is much more expensive. So even though you're seeing the share of town budgets going to fire and EMS going up a little bit over the last 30 years, you're still seeing, from what we hear, you know, greater challenges for towns to sort of respond to that critical service.
You mentioned debt earlier. Is that what some towns are having to do, borrow more money to close that gap?
You are seeing more of that. And under the state's levy limits for property taxes, there's actually an exemption for property taxes that you levy to make debt payments. So it kind of provides this incentive to communities in the state to actually use debt for things that they might have paid for in cash in the past. And we are seeing debt rise. So, you know, the debt kind of that's backed by town's full taxing power, that rose by almost 45% between 2014 and 2020, and now stands at essentially record levels. You're also seeing debt payments rise as a share of town spending, and they're not quite at record levels, but pretty close. And so, you know, there is a concern that over time, it crowds out other spending that these local communities may need.
Are there long-term structural solutions that people are pointing toward?
Well, there's, I think, a lot of things that could be considered. I mean, one thing that we have looked at for both towns and other larger communities is partnering with other local governments to deliver services. And particularly in the case of fire and EMS services, that is certainly something that may help towns continue to provide service and to do so, you know, potentially more efficiently, either by providing better service or providing it at a lower cost. Other things that towns, you know, may want to look at is ways to collaborate in other areas like road maintenance or road construction, looking at ways to, you know, potentially find new sources of revenue. You know, one idea that was floated by someone I talked to would be allowing, their property taxes to rise more quickly if the money was spent on local roads. So, I mean, you know, those are some of the challenges that, or some of the approaches that could be used to address some of these difficulties.
Jason, thanks again for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Jason Stein, Research Director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, with us today sharing the nonprofit's latest report on budget challenges facing Wisconsin town governments.